ever have it. I think I flipped the wrong button. Okay. I can't restate everything. No, I haven't. But that's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You ought to be able to know what that's talking about now. Far more, because it's all, at least beginning to know it, because this is where it begins. It's beginning to have that spirit which is of God. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This whole thing coming down through here is to exhort and to admonish the Corinthians that what should be operating in them, which is going to be one of the most powerfully productive devices, and I don't mean that in a bad sense, in a good sense, that the curriculum for sonship education has built into it that can save you. And I mean save you from real harm as a son, has not even begun to get developed in them properly, because they did not do really what was their responsibility to do to positively and properly respond to the doctrine that they had learned. And they may have had just a brick here and a brick there of truth, but they didn't have any mortar within it to be able to know what to do with it. And the father exhorting the son, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He's being exhorted here that the things that the father thinks and the manner in which the father thinks the things he thinks. That came out right for once. What the father thinks, the things he thinks, and I can't even remember how I said it. But it's the manner in which he thinks. It's designed to be that fabric of his thinking. And the manner in which the father thinks, the fabric of the father's thinking, is now being transferred to his son. And that's what's happening from the get-go. Right from the very first word of the curriculum in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the father begins the process of building into his son what Paul will talk about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as the spirit which is of God, the small case S spirit, that you really do have your father's mind on the matter. And when somebody says, you've got my mind on the matter, he's coming along saying more than I'm just thinking the thoughts the right way. But I, the whole manner in which I'm going to go about doing something is something I now have. It's mine. It's the fabric of my mind, not just of the thoughts going in my mind, but it's the fabric of how my mind works. That's what you're being taught. You're being taught how your father's mind works. And that father's mind and the way it works is being transferred to you as a son. And now, those things that son's learned are to be a part of your thinking, to be the composition of your mind, and you need to respond to them. And in order for them to be the fabric of the son's mind, the son needs to recognize that once he understands them, and you've got that, they become learned, therefore, that really it's now the son's responsibility to take the next step and make them a part of the fabric of his mind. And this will be the issue of, in the final analysis, getting them written on the fleshy table of his heart. And this major volition testing point is the very thing that the Holy Ghost, as I said, it's like a trigger mechanism, is going to, who lives within you, responds to. When you do this and you respond positively and properly to that doctrine, the Holy Ghost, therefore, comes along and takes the information when there's a positive, proper response there, and he then writes that as the epistle on the fleshy tables of your heart. He writes that as the epistle of Christ. And he won't do that until that has been met. That sufficient, positive, and proper response is there, and then you become the living, fleshy, epistle letter of Christ himself. You're the walking, talking, living epistle of Christ. Letter, you're walking, talking the curriculum. Well, that's my understanding of what lies behind the importance of my son, forget not my law. So, well, I'm going to stop there for tonight before we go any further. But next time we'll start looking at let thine heart keep my commandments. And then we're going to, again, just to get you thinking, when he gets into verse 3 and he's going to now bore in on the proper response, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And that's something you need to think about, because you're dealing with a component or form of doctrine. And so there's got to be an issue within it, a mercy issue within it. And I don't know if you know this or not. It's pretty easy to know in our particular component from verses 3 through 8 of Romans 12. There's a mercy issue in that. And not just showing mercy. I mean, that blatantly tells you it's there. But there's a mercy and there's a truth component to it. And all of these, you're going to be on the lookout for these two things. Because those are two of the things that tells you you've got this doctrine now understood properly. And you're going to take those things and not let those things forsake you. Because those are the two critical issues to every component of doctrine you're going to learn. And you're going to bind them. We'll talk about what that analogy, bind them about thy neck and then write them upon the table of thy heart. And that triggers the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost to come along and to indelibly write that upon the fleshy tables of your heart, and you become the living letter or epistle of Christ. So this is a really important thing that we're doing, this volition testing point at the end of a component of doctrine. And like I say, we'll get it all said and taught, and then I expect from now on all we'll have to do is come back and remind ourselves, maybe just come back and read the verses, remind ourselves a little bit of what that is, and eventually, I'm going to do eventually what David does with Solomon. Eventually, those exhortations drop off because you're now doing it all on your own. It's just second nature. That's the way it goes as we mature. Well, anyway, we'll stop right there, and beginning on Sunday morning then, we're going to continue looking at the details of verses 1 through 4 of Proverbs 3 with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful to have the opportunity.